have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup on this beautiful spring day in New York City.
Yes, indeed. I want to get out and enjoy it. I've been sitting here working on all these stories. In the headlines, President Biden may not be able to rebalance the courts as fast as he would like, but he is rebalancing the Defense Department with lots of LGBTQ nominees.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could make some radical change with that? And the Department of Justice under Biden is supporting an abused transgender former inmate in Georgia.
And they're investigating Rudy Giuliani a lot faster now, too. That's nice. A transgender reality star, who you may have heard of, has confirmed her bid for governor of California, but has received almost no support from the LGBT community.
Excellent news from Connecticut, where a federal judge has tossed out the right-wing's lawsuit that challenged the right of trans girls to play girls' sports.
Meanwhile, three trans women were murdered this week, and a lesbian in Brooklyn was killed by her ex-partner.
We've lost a couple of major activists, both from Buffalo, New York this week, Madeline Davis and Bruce Cogan. Bruce died of COVID. And we also lost fashion designer Albert Elbaz.
Yes. China has arrested the only out gay legislator in Hong Kong for political defiance. This is where the gay games is going this year.
I know, and it's only getting worse there day by day. The anti-LGBTQ bigotry in Eastern Europe, turns out, is hurting it economically.
And they don't seem to care. And we'll give you the slight LGBT angle on the Oscars.
I refer to it as the obligatory lesbian reference, but we'll get to that.
Okay. So we start off with President Biden's appointments. He has nominated two LGBT people to top jobs in the Department of Defense. That's Sean.
Three.
Sean Skelly is there on the left.
Sean is on the right.
All right.
Sue Fulton on the left. Sue is a former Army captain and West Point graduate who's served on the West Point Board of Overseers and was married at West Point. She was a co-founder of the Nights Out organization, which is the LGBT people at West Point, and of OutServe, which is the national group which has supported LGBT people in the military, and Sparta. And Sean Skelly on the right, a trans woman, has been nominated as Assistant Secretary for Readiness. She's a former Naval aviator? Aviator, anyway.
Naval flight officer.
Okay.
Who voted out in national security and is a former Pentagon official. Now, Sue Fulton has been nominated as Assistant Secretary for Manpower and Reserve Affairs, an agency that needs to change its name.
Exactly. But these are two major positions within the Department of Defense. And there have been LGBT people, gay men in particular. Excuse me.
Yes.
In major positions at the Department of Defense. We had Pete Williams as the spokesman years ago. We had the guy who was the Secretary of the Army. But these are more and more line important positions.
And add to that, Gina Ortiz Jones from Texas, who had run for Congress unsuccessfully, out lesbian, as the number two at the Air Force. She's an Iraq war vet and daughter of a Filipino immigrant.
Yeah, she ran twice for Congress in Texas and came close, but did not win. So I'm delighted to see her end up with an important administration job. I'm sorry she's not in Congress, but we'll keep trying in Texas, especially two new seats in Texas, for better or worse.
For worse. Well, we don't know. You know, look, Republicans are drawing the lines, and that's going to be a huge problem. But we'll get to that in a bit.
There's a limit to what they can do.
Right. Right. Exactly. And our side has shown itself determined to vote no matter what they do in this process.
I'm also really happy about Vinita Gupta winning confirmation as Associate Attorney General in the Department of Justice. She is fantastic. She was at the ACLU. She was at the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. She challenged the North Carolina HB 2 bathroom bill when she was, I guess, at DOJ. She is a fantastic ally of our communities and a really terrific.
No question. And she sent out all the press releases on the Trump judges telling us how awful they were.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I would write back and I would say, what are you going to do about it? And I would never get a response.
Well, what she's doing about it is becoming the Associate Attorney General.
And what Biden is doing about it is appointing a lot of good and diverse people to the courts. Now, speaking of the courts, the U.S. Supreme Court lurch to the right continues, overturning two recent precedents, ruling 6-3 in Jones v. Mississippi, allowing life without parole for juvenile offenders in more circumstances. Now, and there was a very, very depressing article in The Atlantic that the Trump judge power will peak in 2040. I may not be around on the Court of Appeals unless Congress does the rebalancing and expands the judiciary. Now, Biden can sort of mitigate that somewhat by appointing very young people to the bench, as Trump did. But it's a mess.
Well, we do sometimes get surprised by wins with these judges. And a tiny win we got this week was the Supreme Court refusing to hear the case brought by Texas against California for California's refusal to fund state travel to Texas because of all their anti-LGBT and other heinous actions.
Well, that case was brought by Ken Paxton, who may be in prison himself before long, because there is a big investigation against him. He's a horrible, horrible person, as is Governor Abbott, who signed a bill allowing, this is why there was a boycott of Texas. He signed a bill allowing foster care agencies to discriminate against LGBT people.
And another good move by the Department of Justice, now that the Trump people are out of there, they have filed a brief in a case in Georgia in support of Ashley Diamond, the trans woman who's been fighting her in Georgia in men's prisons for a long time.
She was sexually assaulted in prison 14 times and denied hormone therapy. So she's suing. And now your Justice Department is on the side of justice.
And so are a couple of other departments. I'm sorry, did you want to?
I was just going to say the State Department, because now pride flags can be flown freely at U.S. embassies around the world, according to Secretary Antony Blinken, something Trump and Pompeo tried to stop. Newt Gingrich, whose wife Callista was ambassador to the majority gay enclave of Vatican City, was appalled at this decision, as was, of course, Franklin Graham.
And perhaps even more significant, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, now under former Congresswoman Marcia Fudge, has withdrawn the Trump administration's anti-trans rule on shelters and federally funded housing being able to discriminate against trans people.
Yes, Secretary Ben Carson under Trump had issued guidance on how to spot a trans person in these circumstances.
God.
Representative Monbiot Jones, an out Congress member from New York, called Republicans racist trash, as none of them voted for D.C. statehood, which did pass on a party line vote, 216 to 208.
Well, I would never dispute the idea that they are racist trash, but in this case, they're just going by the numbers. They don't want to empower anybody who are Democrats to have a couple more electoral votes and become a state.
I would say, what about fairness? But Anne would call me naive.
I would.
Ohio is going to have to be more fair to trans people and let them correct their genders on their birth certificates. They had a court order on this in December from a federal judge, and now they've decided not to appeal that.
There, of course, are developments from states around the country on their proposed bad laws. I'm now keeping a scorecard where I write down each state and what happened in it and write either a B or a G next to it for bad or good. And this week is actually a fairly even tally. In Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama, and Montana, we got bad news. No trans in school sports. It's okay to sue schools who are trans friendly. More school sports, Religious Freedom Restoration Act approved in Montana. But there's also good news.
Before you move on from Arkansas, I just want, they do one a week now against us.
Yeah.
And trans people. But they've released a video of Chris Athey, who was the father of a trans teen, a trans son, by the way, and he was giving his testimony. Did you see this? He was giving his testimony before the committee that was hearing one of these bills, and he went about 30 seconds over time, and they had him arrested and put in jail. They cut off his mic, first, but then they had cops surround him and put him in jail. The previous speaker from the opposite, from the supporters of these horrible bills, had spoken for 40 minutes.
Shameless, 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 relentless, shameless, illegal. All right, good news. In North Dakota, the governor vetoed an anti-trans school sports bill, and the Senate sustained the veto, upheld it, and said, yes, that's right. In Arizona, the Scottsdale City Council unanimously passed a non-discrimination bill for sexual orientation and gender identity.
And Governor Ducey there vetoed an anti-LGBT education bill that added barriers to inclusive sex education and history.
In Montana, while they were doing bad stuff with the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, they also killed a ban on trans youth surgery. So that's good, although, as we keep pointing out, there isn't a lot of surgery done on trans youth.
Right. Right.
Hormones, yes. Puberty blockers, yes, but not surgery. But nice of them to kill the ban.
Although those kind of bans are making people leave states like Arkansas who have trans children.
Montana, because they don't have the ban.
Right. In South Carolina, House Judiciary Committee has voted down the third attempt to discriminate against trans student athletes. And by the way, HRC stepping up its call on major companies. First of all, they have all these companies supporting the Equality Act, but they're also calling on the NCAA to pull events out of Alabama and Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, South Dakota, and West Virginia if the governor signs the anti-trans bill there.
And in North Carolina, the Senate there has dropped the attempt to pass a bill forbidding any medical care for trans kids. And forcing schools or allowing schools to out trans kids to their parents. So that's another good one.
Speaking of bigotry in Tennessee, the CEO of a telemedicine company was fired after being captured on video making disparaging remarks to a male high school student in a prom dress. The student, James Stevens, said he wanted to make a statement, but he didn't expect what Sam Johnson did to him. You look disgusting. You look ridiculous. You shouldn't be wearing
that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not the tone of voice in which he did it. Have you seen the video?
It's been seen a million times, but not by me.
He sort of sidles up to him and in a very low voice and a very insinuating kind of voice says, you look disgusting. You look evil. It's very interesting, the dynamic that he made up. And the kid freaked out about this.
Yeah. His boyfriend was shooting the video at a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of trans people, first of all, Governor Gavin Newsom now will almost certainly face a recall vote, but he enjoys a 53% approval rating. When Gray Davis was recalled back in 2003, he was at 26%. So good chance of survival. But jumping into the race is Republican Caitlyn Jenner, a right-wing trans woman who I imagine has a reality show contract to go with this campaign. She has hired lots of the Trump team. She has lots of her own money to spend on this. She's including on the team some of the people involved in the coup attempt. I don't think this will play in California. She's even hired the disgraced Brad Pascal, who had to quit as Trump's campaign manager.
Because he was found beating up his wife. I think she's gotten talked into this by these right-wing Trump people who keep telling her, oh, yeah, you got this. You can win. I can't imagine that she thought this up all on her own.
It's an alarming prospect to have one of these elections, because if Newsom was recalled and there are 10 people running, somebody with 13% of the vote could win.
Technically, yes, but presumably someone would do a little better than that. But they're not going to have this recall until November, and that gives Newsom more time to get away from the scandal of his dinner at the French Laundry, which really is what got him in trouble in the first place.
And we should say that Jenner's candidacy, now transgender, very famous, has been greeted with contempt, even from some trans activists who had been friendly with her.
Well, of course. And frankly, it's hard for me to take this seriously because I just don't think she's not going to get 13%. She would be, I'd be surprised if she got 3%. So I don't.
Yeah. Hmm? Well, she's a reality star. Like Donald Trump. So
Not really. And she doesn't, she's not a reality star. She had a reality show briefly. She's not.
She was on the Kardashians.
I don't consider her a real reality star. And she doesn't have the charisma or approval ratings that Trump had on his long-running reality show. So you want to make a bet on this?
No, I don't want to make a bet on it. I just want to remind people that the whole process stinks and that, you know, there's no runoff and somebody with a very low vote could win.
There's no runoff in New York for the mayor's race.
Well, there is. It's an instant runoff because we vote for five candidates now.
I don't like that so much.
I like it a lot, but we can talk about that another time. Let's talk about the census that you alluded to. Losing U.S. House seats in this census are California, New York, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. All but West Virginia, Biden won those states, so he'll those less electoral votes there. Gaining are Montana, Oregon, Colorado, North Carolina, and Florida with gains of one, and big bad Texas gets two.
I did read reference to the fact that the Democratic legislature of New York, or whatever commission is doing this, is likely to reconfigure districts to highly favor Democratic candidates and give us a lot more Democratic members of Congress.
All right, we can check this afterwards. I'm not sure. I think there's some kind of a nonpartisan process that's going to play a role in New York this year. A fair process would benefit us. That's all I'm asking is fairness, even with Rudy Giuliani.
Well, I'm just saying that just because those seats have switched does not necessarily mean it's a one-for-one trade. Things are going to shift all over.
Get rid of Lee Zeldin.
Well, and watch him wind up in the governor's chair. That's the real possibility I'm concerned about.
I would, Andrew Cuomo, if you're listening, I know you watch every week. Please don't run again. Give someone else a chance. The Pittsburgh Penguins of the NHL had their first Pride Night, but one of our viewers noticed that the big advertisers on the boards was Chick-fil-A. And complained about it and got an apology for discomfort, but no commitment to drop the sponsorship.
Well, since we're now in the sports realm, let's talk about the really important story of the week, which comes from Connecticut, where a federal judge has dismissed the lawsuit by a couple of parents and the Alliance Defending Freedom against trans participation in school sports. This was a huge case, and here we see the winners. You got
Andrea Yearwood and Terry Miller.
Thank you. They're the trans athletes who were the defendants, basically, in this case, not specifically.
Elected by the Alliance Defending Freedom. Because they had won some titles.
Yeah.
So the judge, Robert Chatigny, Chatigny, said, first of all, it's moot. They're not in school anymore.
Right.
But then he said that Title IX requires schools to treat trans students consistent with their gender identity. Now, the Alliance Defending Freedom is vowing to appeal. The judge was a Clinton appointee, and he is a bencher emeritus of the Oliver Ellsworth Inn of Court. And we'll know that. That is.
Thank you. I hadn't seen that. All right. Well, that's great news. That is a hugely important case that's been watched now for quite a while and could have a great impact on all these laws that are being passed around the country, because all these anti-trans in sports bills that have passed are going to be attacked judicially. And I think we have a great chance of winning them. And a decision like this is a great beginning to that.
The closeted Governor Kay Ivey of Alabama signed one of those bills. But you mentioned states that are pulling back. Now, I'm not sure if this is going to hold up, but for the time being, Missouri is holding back. And North Carolina. And Governor John Bel Edwards of Louisiana said he would veto such a bill.
I do think things are turning around fast on some of these, and I think that is a remarkable sign of progress, because you remember the anti-marriage equality bills in 2004 swept the nation almost unanimously, I think, and no matter how hard we fought back here, after a very brief time, we're seeing some of these bills fall, and some of these conservative states refuse to pass these bills. And I have to think that's an indication that we have come a long way in the intervening time in terms of educating the public, visibility of trans people, making the arguments we've made. And I'm enormously encouraged by that.
Yet, in previous years, we fought off, not the one you're talking about with marriage, but we fought off most of these kinds of bills, and more have passed this year than in any other year.
There was a tsunami of bills proposed, and I thought they would sweep the nation virtually 100%. And yet we are finding this week 50% of the bills have failed in places like South Carolina and North Dakota and Montana and Arizona. So I am not without hope that we have made progress and will continue to do so.
And we made some progress in New York City, where the council passed a bill to provide intersex inclusive education to doctors, parents, and guardians of intersex children, brought by out council member Danny Drum. He led the fight. It passed 45-2. They're trying to counter these medical procedures imposed on intersex youth in an effort to fit their anatomy into the male-female binary. These interventions rarely align with the child's gender identity as they get older. advocates call it genital mutilation, which it is.
Exactly.
How about that Andrew Yang this week? Can we talk about
what an idiot.
Well, I hope people are catching on. He's, you know, he's running for mayor and he's speaking at the Stonewall Democrats. He expresses enthusiasm for visiting the cubbyhole with his gay campaign managers and resurrecting the pride parade as if we need him for that. I love your community. You're so human and beautiful. I don't have tape of this either, Anne. The club went with Scott Stringer, the city comptroller, Diana Morales, and Ray McGuire was their third choice.
Well, you know, lots to question in all of that. I think Stringer has been an excellent candidate, but now he's being hit with a sexual harassment charge this week. So we'll see where that goes.
Actually, that's news to me, and I will read up on it.
How could you have missed it? It's all over the news this morning.
Okay. I was preparing for this show.
Where it has come up. But it's also interesting that the Stonewall Democrats did not endorse Corey Johnson, number one, for controller.
Right.
They picked him number two.
Brad Lander,
number one. So the New York races are interesting to us because we're political junkies, but evidently most of New York City is not paying attention yet.
Or the nation. The San Francisco
Board doesn't have to pay attention, but the city should.
Second hardest job in America. San Francisco Board of Supervisors, a panel there endorsed the landmarking of the Noe Valley home of pioneering lesbian activists Phyllis Lyon and Del Martin in observance of Lesbian Visibility Day. The adjoining lot where they have the home where their cremains are will not be landmarked, so the new owner can build on it. But the new owner supports landmarking the house.
Well, this is not a final decision. This is just a committee recommendation. So it's a good step in the right direction, but we still await a final decision. And so the decision on whether to landmark the adjoining lot is still up in the air.
Staying in New York, Yeshiva University is suing for the right to form a recognized LGBTQ student club. It's a modern Jewish Orthodox university, but the school has had secular status since 1969. 48 faculty members called the refusal of the administration to recognize the group wrong and unlawful.
I have hopes for that lawsuit, but we'll see. Meanwhile, it's time for us, I think, to talk about the trans people and others we've lost this week, starting with Tiara Banks in Chicago, a 24-year-old trans woman. The ages of these people who are murdered just gets me every week. 24 years old.
She was sitting alone in her car in the West Pullman neighborhood and shot multiple times.
Terrible.
And then in San Jose, Natalia Smut Lopez, also a 24-year-old trans woman and Puerto Rican, murdered on April 23rd. Elijah Segura, who called 911 about Natalia being injured, was taken into custody for the homicide. She succumbed to her injuries. The two had been dating. Natalia worked as a lip-syncing drag queen.
And an artist, drag performer and artist. And then in Brooklyn, a horrible tragedy, right in broad daylight on the street, Nichelle Thomas, 52 years old, shot dead by her ex-girlfriend, Letitia Bell.
In broad daylight.
Yep. And here's what is confusing to me. They had a long relationship described by friends as toxic, but they had split 3 years ago.
Yeah. They were I'm reading that they were sort of getting back together, but, the sister of Bell, the perpetrator here, said her sister is mentally ill. And Thomas, who was killed, was studying at New York Theological Seminary to be a mental health counselor. So
it's tragedy.
Tragedy.
also tragic. In Spotsylvania, Virginia, Isaiah Brown, out gay man, home health care aide, shot dead by cops. He was 32 years old. This is one of these stories this week about another murder by cops for no reason at all. He's standing in his driveway, I think, holding a phone, and he. This is the middle of the night. Cops come across him in a gas station and give him a ride home. One cop, I guess. Drop him off. Everything's fine. An hour later, Isaiah calls the police to say, come help me.
Dispute
at home or whatever. The cop comes back and somehow gets in a confrontation with him. Isaiah's holding the phone to his ear. The cop starts yelling at him to drop the gun and shoots him. What? Is this the one where he was shot?
10 times.
10 times. Dead. Absolutely senseless. Another murder by cop. Horrible.
Now he was in the ICU there. He died subsequently?
Yes.
Okay. And of course, speaking of no relation, there was the case of Andrew Brown Jr. this week in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. Not gay that we know of, shot in the back of the head by police executing a search warrant.
And he had his hands on the steering wheel, evidently.
Right, right.
And I'm very sad to see that in back in New York, I think this, I'm not sure whether this is Manhattan or the Bronx, Kowalski Trawick.
Bronx.
That's what I thought. Thank you. 2 years ago, was killed by cops in his apartment, 32 years old. He was someone with some mental problems. He had been locked out of his apartment. He called for help. The fire department came and let him into his apartment. He's standing in his kitchen cooking, and the cops arrive, not realizing that the locked out story has been taken care of, and they come in and shoot him dead in his apartment. And now the district attorney in the Bronx has decided there was no wrongdoing and the cops should not be prosecuted.
Well, and now the police department's not even going to discipline the cops. Now, there was one of the cops who said, you know, this should have been handled differently. We should have pulled back. He was trying to get them to pull back, realizing they were dealing with a mental health crisis. This is what doesn't happen. Is de-escalation of these things, and then you bring in a whole different unit to try to resolve the problem. And then there's the
Ithaca. Did you read about Ithaca, New York, this week? They're going to change their police department. They're basically going to start by firing the entire police department, and then they're going to set up two units, an armed response team and a mental health team. And all the police who've been let go are allowed to apply for the armed response team if they want to be, you know, rehired or kept on their jobs. But they're going to split it into these two units so that they can triage incidents and decide what actually needs armed police and what needs a mental health team.
Well, the Camden Police Department in New Jersey has developed a good reputation for de-escalation and doing it. And all police need to be trained in these methods and to carry them out. I mean, it can be, in other words, it can be done. It is being done.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about the case of Nigel Shelby again in Huntsville, Alabama, a 15-year-old. Who took his own life at the school, and now his family is suing in federal court, saying the school officials knew that he was suicidal and failed to stop him from being bullied. Last month, in anticipation of the lawsuit, the school tried to tout its work supporting gay students and those with emotional needs. But in this case, the head of the school told Nigel, being gay is a choice, you could change. And when, the other students complained, he's being bullied all the time, you got to do something. The head of the school played black music to cheer him up. and which depressed him further, and he took his life.
He was the subject of both racist and homophobic bullying, and at 14, he took his life. Ben Crump, who has become the most prominent civil rights attorney in a lot of these police killing cases and others, is joining with the family in their suit against the Huntsville.
Ben Crump is just terrific.
Yeah.
All right.
So going after the Board of Education in Huntsville.
Right. All right. Let's talk about this lesbian wedding. Where are we now?
Hendersonville, North Carolina.
Okay. So
Clarissa and Tegan.
They hire a videographer company. They talk to the guy who's going to do it. You know, he knows it's going to be a lesbian wedding. So he waits until he gets there and then walks out and says his faith. It doesn't even say anything. He just disappears. And then his statement is, my faith doesn't allow me to do this. So
what a nasty piece of work.
Wow. Cruel. They frantically called the company. Hours later, they sent somebody and they tried to recreate some of the pictures. But it was, you know, these women had been planning the wedding for 14 months, poured their savings into it. It was heartbreaking.
And the wedding was smaller because of COVID. And so they were really counting on the video to show to family and friends who couldn't be there.
The company fired the creep. They said they will adopt a non-discrimination policy. But wow.
They had a still photographer there, and so the video company is taking the stills and trying to create a kind of faux video from it.
No, but, you know, I mean, they should they sue the company or, you know, whatever for not, you know, properly, whatever. It's terrible.
And in other news of lesbians being shunned, from Atlanta, Georgia, the Woodstock Church of Christ elders are threatening to shun lesbian Crystal Cox, who is
They sent her a letter saying, we understand you divorced your husband and you're dating a woman. We're giving you to April 30th to repent.
How can you be mean to those women? Look at them. They're so cute.
I mean, is this what Jesus wants? I can't believe it.
No, I talked to Jesus and he's fine with it.
Even the Catholic Church wants your money, you know. They don't want to throw you out. They don't want to affirm you, but they don't want to throw you out.
All right, back to sad news, but at least not shot by cops. We lost two major activists in Buffalo, New York this week. Tell us about Bruce Kogan.
We have a picture of Bruce with Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul. Bruce was a New York City activist for many years and who really shone working as an investigator at the Crime Victims Board in the 70s and in the 80s, making sure that LGBT victims of crime got their just aid and services. Total follow through. He's died of COVID. So he contributed a lot to the movement here in New York. I knew him well. And when he moved to Buffalo, a few decades ago, he got deeply involved there, working to displace bigoted politicians, and there are a lot of them there, campaigning to get statewide groups. He also campaigned to get statewide groups in New York, which are mostly based in New York City, pay attention to upstate. He was very emphatic about this. He retired in 2002 and was honored by the New York City Anti-Violence Project. He's a former president of the Stonewall Democrats of Western New York, a real workhorse.
Also a real worker, Madeline Davis, just died at age 81. She had a stroke. She died at home in hospice care. She was a co-founder of the Mattachine Society of Niagara Frontier.
There she is with the sign that says there on sort of towards the right that says Buffalo Radical Lesbians.
She was one of the first to put out a record of LGBT music, Stonewall Nation, in 1971. And in 1972, she was the first out gay delegate to a national political convention, the Democratic National Convention, of course. But she is probably best known for being the co-author in 1994 of the book Boots of Leather, Slippers of Gold. This is a seminal piece of writing about the pre-Stonewall lesbian bar culture, which is particularly relevant these days as we continue to lose facilities like that. Lesbian bars are reputedly disappearing across the nation. And this book was so famous and so important. And Madeline Davis was a legendary activist, musician, author. This is a huge loss.
Well, yes.
And she had a huge archive that she started about 20 years ago. So with any luck, a lot of this is preserved. But she was quite the firecracker.
So accomplished. She started a lesbian theater company. But when at the convention in 72, and we didn't get the plank in 72 on gay rights, but she spoke.
She tried.
Oh, it was a great speech. But Walter Cronkite is covering it, and he goes, "The speaker who just started is Madeline Davis, 32-year-old communications worker from Buffalo, New York, who just identified herself as a lesbian. Let's listen." There's film of this.
Let's listen would be a breakthrough.
But some woman got up and objected to the plank and said, "It's going to lead to pedophilia." And she said that, and then later she said, "I apologize. I didn't really believe that. I just didn't want us to adopt the plank."
Well, thanks. That's a great comfort.
Yeah, right.
All right. There was one other murder of a trans woman. We don't have her picture. Tiffany Thomas in Texas, a trans woman murdered at a car wash. Another horrible story for this week.
Another horrible story. A middle school vice principal in New Jersey went on a transphobic rant at a restaurant. Lisa Smurro threw a beer at a trans woman who used the women's room. Patrons told her to take her hate elsewhere. The Neptune School District is investigating. The owner said, "We let people use the restroom when they want." She was convinced the woman was trans because their feet were facing totally in the wrong direction. She's the vice principal of a school.
Facing in the wrong direction. Oh, in the stall. I'm thinking, does she have an anatomical problem? And another loss this week, Albert Elbaz.
Oh, oh right.
Fashion designer. Died of COVID, leaving his partner, Alex Koo. What I was struck by in reading the obituaries about him was how truly beloved he was in the fashion industry.
By Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman, among others. He dealt with women as they are, not as, you know, these totally, you know,
He seemed to be a nice guy, which I think is not universally the case in the industry. And I was just struck by the sort of genuine love that people seem to have for him.
He was successful in reviving the Longvin brand.
And then your pal, Kevin Spacey, not universally beloved.
Well, big piece in the Hollywood Reporter following up on this. He's being sued by his former employer for millions, and he's counter-suing, saying, I want money. But in London, here's some developments. Prosecutors have concluded their investigation into his sexual misconduct when he was the director of the Old Vic Theater Company. The Crown Prosecution Service is deciding what charges to bring. Now, he's being sued by another man who says Spacey assaulted him at 14, along with Anthony Rapp, who was 14 at the time, as part of that suit. But three Spacey accusers have died within 10 months of each other in 2019, including Arthur Ari Ben, who took his own life that Christmas.
Yeah, let's not promote conspiracy theories here. People do die coincidentally.
No such thing. Don't put words in my mouth. Governor Andrew Cuomo has finally spoken. He's flatly denying he did anything wrong, despite seven women credibly accusing him in his employ of harassment. "I did nothing wrong." And then Scott Rudin, a follow-up on that, there was this big demonstration by Broadway people from Columbus Circle to the theater district demanding that Scott Rudin be thrown out of the Broadway League. He resigned, which is the operating agency for Broadway, and that he fund 20 theater companies for people of color, et cetera. And a lot of trans and other LGBT people were part of this demonstration.
Shall we move on to international news?
Let's do.
In South Africa, things are not looking good. Four gay men have been murdered in the last month. Activists marched on Parliament demanding that government take action on hate crimes, but the police are so homophobic that they don't have a lot of confidence in their ability to do anything about this anyway.
That's terrible. This is a country where rights for LGBT people are written into the Constitution, and they are, in the central government, updating identification documents to reflect non-binary identities.
Yes. But that's, you know, what's written and what happens in real life are far apart. In China, in Hong Kong, the only out gay legislator in the Hong Kong parliament, Raymond Chan Chi-Chuen, and Sid Ho, have been arrested, charged with subversion for trying to elect opposition candidates.
So they're being prosecuted for participating in the political process.
Exactly.
Which is being branded as an attempt to overthrow the government, which is what elections are. They overthrow governments and get new ones. He and his co-defendant here are leaders in the fight for LGBT rights, though they're saying that China is not targeting them for that, but wow. And as I said, this is where they're having the gay games.
In London, Alan Cumming has written an essay that ended up in the Times there that supports trans people. In opposition, he says the opposition is based on fear of the unknown, which I think is legitimate.
By the way, while we, you know, condemn what's going on in Hong Kong, you know, let's look at what's left of our democracy here, where, you know, it's being buried by Republicans with these extreme voter suppression things and these anti-rioting laws, which are just, I mean, and we've talked about them, but think about it, folks. They're going to be able to drive cars into you and get away with it if they kill you. This is what they are passing. I hope there is some protection in the Constitution to get rid of these laws.
Well, I think legalizing murder is probably unconstitutional, but that...
Well, police have been doing it for years.
And the death penalty still exists here and there.
Right.
Well, as a segue to entertainment news.
Well, what about what's going on in Eastern Europe?
Go ahead.
A coalition of global companies are promoting LGBT inclusion, big ones. And they found that discrimination against LGBTQ people cost countries 2% in economic growth. That's a lot for a country. Hungary, Poland, Romania, and Ukraine are losing billions because they lack protections for LGBT people, and they're having a brain drain as a result. So these included Google and Microsoft and Barclays and Deutsche Bank, all trying to stand up on this issue. Gay sex is legal in these places, but none of them allow same-sex marriage.
Well, that's also why those companies in this country pull out of or condemn states that are homophobic where we don't have explicit rights, because they know that they're going to be hurt economically if they participate in those states. And so they have become some of our biggest defenders. They could do more, but that's why they do step up against state anti-LGBT laws and such.
Go ahead.
In Spain, they're going to start airing a Spain version of Drag Race. Drag Race España will air soon in Spain.
All right. How about those Oscars?
All right. The obligatory lesbian moment. Production design for Mank. Jan Pascal introduces her and thanks her wife sitting in the audience.
So there was lots of people of color representation in the presentations and everything. And of course, people
of not enough in the winners.
Well, two people of color won the supporting actor awards. Tyler Perry was given one of the humanitarian awards, Gene Herschel humanitarian awards. And he gave a big shout out to the LGBTQ community. All right.
I'm waiting. That's all. I'm waiting.
I know. Mia Neal, who won for hair and makeup for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom with Jameika Wilson and Sergio Lopez Rivera, the first women of color to win in that category, spoke up for the underrepresented, including Black trans women. And the out by director, Trayvon Free, won for Best Live Action Short, Two Distant Strangers, about a young Black man's experience with police brutality.
No, I missed that. He wasn't explicit in his acceptance speech, I would say.
Oh, okay.
All right. Coming up this weekend, Pose returns to FX on Sunday. Two episodes Sunday night, and then five more episodes for season three, the final season of Pose. So set your DVRs for that. Also, in May, Netflix is going to air Holston, a series produced by Ryan Murphy with Ewan McGregor as Holston.
Good actor.
What happened to appropriate casting?
Good actor, not gay.
Yeah, exactly.
But out is LGBTQ musician Kalani. Is that how we say it?
Yes.
Came out as a lesbian on TikTok after telling fans first on a live stream.
She says she's... I was the last to know in my family. She had formally identified as queer and bisexual, but now she's coming to terms with the fact that she is, in fact, a lesbian. And her family all went, yeah, of course, you idiot. What do you think?
And then there's the singer Ezra Furman, who has come out as a trans woman, as well as confirming that they've been a mother for the last 2 years, which apparently had not been widely known. Had often identified as non-binary and said that the hardest part was saying, I am a woman.
Yeah, I've seen that be a problem before. On May 20th, Netflix is going to run the documentary Hating Peter Tatchell, produced by Elton John and his husband, David Furnish. Have you seen this?
No, I haven't, and yeah, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Okay. Maybe I'll write to Peter and try to get a link.
Maybe we should rerun our one-hour interview with Peter Tatchell.
He's a pretty interesting guy.
Yeah. Also, next week, starting May 4th, you can see on all the various streaming services the movie To Me Monk. It's a Bolivian film that was Bolivia's candidate for the Oscars. It did not make the final cut, but it is a very highly regarded film about a gay guy who seems to have committed suicide, and his father, who completely rejected him during his life, along with his mother, totally rejected him because of their Catholicism. His father goes in search of the surviving lover to find out what his son was really all about. And I've seen this movie, and at first I thought, well, this is a fairly conventional playing out of, you know, the rejecting family and the son. But it gets more complex than that, because the surviving lover has done a play about the late lover, and it gets all mixed up between reality and the play, and he has 30 people playing the dead guy, and it's actually quite fascinating in the end. To Me Monk.
And where can I see it?
You can see it online, streaming on all, you know, all the streaming services.
Excuse me, that means you got to pay for it?
Not necessarily. It may be streaming for free if you have any of these services.
I have Netflix and Amazon Prime.
You may find it on Amazon Prime, but it's a twist that really works, I think, in the end. And as I say, the fact that Bolivia chose this as its candidate for the Oscars says a lot, because Bolivia is not one of the more LGBT-friendly countries. So I think in the end it's worth watching.
Something that you apparently are not going to be able to see is the new Sondheim musical. It was based on two, it's been in the works for over a decade, based on two films by Luis Buñuel. It's now apparently officially dead. He's 91 now. It was being produced by Scott Rudin at the Public Theater and had Joe Mantello as the director, with David Ives as the writer. There was a little workshop done of the first act, and, you know, it sounded promising. I like the Buñuel films, but we may have to miss that.
Something you can see is Oprah's interview with Elliot Page. Yep. If you have Apple TV Plus, which I do not, I don't know how many people do, but it's an in-depth interview. Elliot, I think, was prompted to do this interview in part because of all these anti-trans laws that have been flooding the states. And he has really, he gave an interview about doing this interview with Oprah and talks about how much better coming out as trans has made him feel and how much easier his life is now that he feels connected to who he really is. And he talks about how he actually felt this as a child. He said, when I was a child, I was a boy. But my family refused to accept that and said, no, you're going to grow out of this feeling. You're a girl, and that's going to be your life. And he didn't want to do that, but ended up doing that and finally got to the point where he felt he could be his true self. So now he's Elliot and talks about this with Oprah in this Apple TV Plus interview, which first airs on April 30th, Friday. We're taping on Wednesday, and will be available there.
Right. And if you would like to support Gay USA so that we can afford Apple Plus and other things, no. But support the show. We don't ask for donations often, but you can do that by going to our website at gayusatv.org, gayusatv.org. Your contributions are tax deductible, and they keep us going.
Now, are you a fan of The Chi on Showtime, Lena Waithe's series?
I have to catch up on it.
Well, it's had two or three seasons already. I think it's an absolutely terrific show. I've been watching it since the beginning, and it's about to start its new season on May 23rd. And Jasmine Davis, a trans woman, is joining the cast. Which should be very interesting, as a girlfriend of one of the main characters. The Chi, set in Chicago, Chi is the nickname for Chicago, and it's a terrific show, highly recommended.
And we're down to our last 30 seconds.
Are we? New York Historical Society is going to have an outdoor exhibit starting May 14th, Safe Haven, Gay Life in 1950s, Cherry Grove.
Wow.
Lots of pictures and ephemera. So you
send me a link. I'll send it out in the email.
Okay.
All right. Nice to be with you.
Thank you all. We'll see you next week.